Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us. Pull up a chair, and let's study the word of Yahweh. Let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, and we thank you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, in a world of chaos, for all your protection and love. We thank you for the blessings that you've put on your people during the Shemitah year. And we thank you for your Sabbath that's beginning now. We pray and ask that we can enter your rest, as we know this picture is your millennial rest that's coming soon. And we pray your kingdom to the earth as is in heaven. We pray your spirit to guide and lead this study and to be able to share with your people around the world the good news that you're proclaiming in these last days. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, because I sent out an email this afternoon with World News, I think, but the amount that I have to go over in hopefully finishing Ezekiel 34, but we'll see. I am going to skip World News today. We did have a lot of things in the news this past week with storms again and more news coming with the fire in Hawaii, but I am going to hold off on that and get into the study because there's a lot of meat in here. And last week we were starting where Yahweh was talking about, and maybe I'll just read here just that first verse or the second verse. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, to the shepherd says, so says Adonai Yahweh, woe to the shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And this is talking about in that day, the priest, the prophet, the kings, the princes. You know, so modern day, it would be everything from pastors, elders, ministers, and political people, governors, presidents, Congress. And this is what the whole chapter is about, because we know that Satan is the God of this world and the people in his world aren't taking care of the sheep, and Yahweh saying how upset he is about that. So I'm not going to go over those scriptures. We stopped after verse 12. And verse 13, though, we take a dramatic turn. That's why we kind of stopped there. It was a natural break where now Yahweh goes from chastising these shepherds, these false shepherds, these bad shepherds, and now he's talking about bringing his people out. Of course, this is end time stuff, and bringing them back to the land of Israel where he will shepherd them and have true shepherds there. So verse 13 says, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the lands, and I will bring them to their land and feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the dwelling places of the land. So I've said this many times, the only road to the promised land is through the wilderness. And I believe that's where we are in prophecy now. We're 2 weeks to Yom Teruah, where the Shemitah will be ending and we'll be starting a new seven-year cycle, which could possibly be the last 7 years of this earth. And I always put an asterisk next to it because there could be another seven. There could be two sevens, but I believe for different reasons that I'll get into on Yom Teruah that there's a good chance we are entering the last 7 years now, but only Yahweh knows. So he's saying about taking his people, gathering them, right? Gathering them from the places. Amos 9 and verse 14. Amos 9 and verse 14, and I can go over 100 scriptures that I have over the years with this, because this is one of the main things I've spoken about for many, many years about Yahweh regathering his people in the end times. He says, and I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they will build the way cities and live in them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of them, and they shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And you can see it today in Israel in the shadow of it, you know, with our brother Judah. But over here, he's talking in the wider sense, you know, of the millennial blessings and all the tribes coming back. But the fact that Yahweh has already brought our brother there, Judah, back to the land, and Israel is a nation again, proves to us that these are not analogies. You know, like up until probably 70, 80 years ago, most pastors would say this is an analogy for the church or whatever. I've heard pastors say, wherever you see the word Israel, replace it with the word church, and it's just, it's replacement theology, it's false. Ezekiel 37, verse 21 and 22. And this is the gathering back of the tribes. And he says, and so say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations, there where they have gone, and will gather them from all around, and will bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation, Ikad, in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be a king to them all, and they shall not be two nations anymore, and they will not be split into two kingdoms anymore. So, I've said this recently when I was on my trips, you know, that when we look at when we look at Babylon, right, end time Babylon, it's a bad place and it's no picnic. But I've said for the last couple of years that for a lot of the brethren that have left Babylon, many of them are some of the strongest brethren we have in the congregation all over the world. And why is that? Because I believe that the brethren that have left Babylon, as myself, we're really the only ones that can really understand this, because we don't have a homeland anymore. And even the poorest brethren in Africa and Asia and the third world that are humble people and good people and understand scripture, they still have a homeland. They still have a place to live. Even though they may be poor, they have a land to live. But for the ones that have left their land and were wanderers among the nations, I think we can really understand this in a greater way because we're living it. We've left our homeland. We're in the wilderness. And again, whether that's going to be 7 more years or 14 more years, we understand the kingdom is close and we live every day to it. Isaiah 65, 9 and 10. Isaiah 65, 9 and 10. But it's got to be a reality in your life. It's got to be real that these scriptures, because we've seen so many of them already fulfilled, probably about 20 to 30% of prophecy has already been fulfilled. And the rest we shouldn't doubt whatsoever. Isaiah 65, 9 and 10 says, and I will bring forth the seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, one to inherit my mountains, and my elect will inherit, my servants will live there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, that's an area there, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds for my people who have sought me. So again, Yahweh talking about this. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24, the scripture on this verse. For I will take you from the nations and gather you out from all the lands and bring you into your own land. So, and that whole chapter is basically on that. I've went over that many, many times in many, many sermons, which we will when we get up to it. Probably next week, Yahweh willing, will be our last Bible study. You know, for now, we'll take a break for the feast days, and then we'll see, because they have trips coming up, when we will be starting the Bible study again after that. But Yahweh willing, we'll finish this week and next week with that. So verse 14 of Ezekiel 34, and I, even I, will feed them in a good pasture, and on the high mountains of Israel their fold shall be. They shall lie there in a good fold, and they shall feed in a fat pasture all the mountains of Israel. So that's what Yahweh's saying. That's why I said in the beginning, when he's talking about the shepherds, he's not just talking about religious leaders. He's talking about political leaders. He's talking about leaders of countries. Because when you look today, who is taking care of their people? It's, you know, a lot of Christian pastors aren't. And I talked about that last week with the money and all that kind of stuff. And commercial Babylon. But also, the governments aren't taking care of their own people. And it's the corruption that you see today in governments, you know, all over the world. Right now, it's being exemplified in America with all the things with Donald Trump, you know, getting indicted and most likely going to wind up going to prison. And also Joe Biden, you know. And they say like 75% of the people don't want either of them to run, and they're running against each other. So you're a loser either way. But I mean, just the corruption, particularly from Joe Biden and the things that he did. And they're not taking care of their people. And they'll give billions and billions of dollars to foreign adversaries like Ukraine because they're in cahoots with them and they're getting money from them. But when it comes to their own people, and you see homelessness, millions of people that are homeless, and just the most basic regard for life is not being taken care of, and it's sad. But Yahweh, that's why he says he will feed them in good pasture, and on the high mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my sheep and I will make them lie down, declares Adonai Yahweh. Jeremiah 3:14-15. Return, apostate sons, declares Yahweh. For I am Adonai Yahweh, and I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You know, here it is. In Yahweh's congregation, and praise him for that. And that's why I say, you know, when you look at the different sacred name groups and the assemblies, and, you know, different Sabbath groups, there may be some differences with calendars and different things and this and that, but I could say all the men that I know from these different groups and different administrations, they're not out there for money. They're not taking salary. And they are caring for the sheep, you know, and trying to do things and trying to give and trying to nurture. And I believe that in the Laodicean era, it's not really appreciated as much as it should be. That do people realize, like, in a world of fraud, in a world of fake religion, in a world of, you know, everything being sold for money, and like I said, instead of the pastors caring for the flock, it's the flock has to care for the pastor. Do the brethren really appreciate that Yahweh has put real pastors and real leaders there that do care for them? And, you know, I've seen it in our congregation. I've seen elders travel hundreds and hundreds, even 1,000 miles to baptize one person, you know? And I hope that people appreciate that the heart that is put in there. John 10 and verse 7. It says, then Yeshua again said to them, I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will have life and will go in and will go out and will find pasture. The thief does not come except that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. But the hireling, not even being a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and forsakes the sheep and flees, and the wolf seizes them and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling, and there is not a care to him concerning the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and I am known by the ones that are mine. Even as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I was saying this last week, that when you look at these false pastors out there, these hirelings, man, when hard times come, forget about it. They're gone. You know, they're not there protecting the people. They're not there in the front lines. They're, you know, running in the other direction as soon as a problem comes. But Yahweh says that he will give true shepherds, like Yeshua says, I am the true shepherd. And elders and pastors that are in the congregation are literally picked by him. It talks about this in Ephesians 4, you know, that he has set in the congregation, elders and pastors, for that very reason, to care for his flock and to care for his sheep. And part of going to the wilderness, it's not just leaving commercial Babylon, you know, but it's also leaving the system of false religion, you know, where with the religious spirit that's in the world today, it's almost impossible to stay out of it completely because it's everywhere. It's everywhere you look. But when you go to the wilderness, you could really get away from it. And that's where, you know, whether you're in a community or a kibbutz, you know, wherever you are out there in the wilderness, you're protected. You know, Yahweh has pastors and shepherds that are there protecting the people, you know, from the false pastors. Verse 16, I will seek the lost, and I will return the banished, and I will bind up the broken, and I will make the weak strong, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So he's talking about, remember, the fat and the strong, meaning the ones who took everything for themselves. And again, whether it's politicians or it's pastors,
It's the same thing. You see this. You see these, some of these ministries have private jets, you know, but you see the same thing. How could somebody who's a politician their whole life, for 30, 40 years, that's the only job they had, and they wind up with $30 million, $50 million, $80 million? Where's all this money coming from? But it's coming from graft. Jeremiah 50 and verse 17. But that's the awesome thing about here in the end time, that Yahweh says he is himself intervening there. Praise him. It says, Israel is a scattered sheep driven away by lions. First, the king of Assyria devoured him, and last, this king of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon crunched his bones. So today we see the same thing in governments of the world today. We see end time Babylon, and we see all the governments around the world, North Korea and China, all these bad governments that are just hurting their people and persecuting their people. And it's just sad to see it. Micah 4 and verse 6. Like I said, praise Yahweh that he says he is going to intervene and it won't be no more. Micah 4 and verse 6 says, in that day I will gather the lame, declares Yahweh, and I will gather the banished and the one I've afflicted. And I will make the lame into a remnant, and her who was removed into a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on and forever. So Yahweh is going to be reigning over them forever. And that's why, like I say, life is a test, and it's also a test to us elders. Because if we're not showing now that we care for the sheep, and, you know, that we're not fleecing the flock, you know, but we're feeding the flock. And if not, you know, we're not going to be there either. Psalm 147, 2 and 3. Psalm 147, verse 2 and 3. Says, Yahweh builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their sorrows. And that's one of the things, you know, many times when new people are coming into the faith, no matter where they're coming from, everyone's usually coming from somewhere. There's a lot of horror stories out there. How people were abused by, you know, different churches and congregations and treated bad. And Yahweh is, that's why Yahweh is looking for that. And that's what we need to do. We need to be looking, going out and seeking the lost sheep and healing the brokenhearted, you know, and seeking the banished to return. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1 says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. So, you know, sometimes when people go through some of these situations, they feel like, you know, they just give up. Sometimes they quit the congregation. But Yahweh's always there, and Yahweh's testing the people too, because ultimately Yahweh is in charge, and at times he lets us go through things and even suffering and even injustice, so that we learn that we won't do that to other people and we'll learn the right way. But Yahweh lets us do that for our own benefit and to humble us a lot of times. Jeremiah 9 and verse 15. Jeremiah 9 and verse 15. It says, so Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, says this, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and make them drink poison waters. You know, and that's most likely, they say, from the poppy plant. So that's what Yahweh is saying to the evil ones, that he will, you know, take care of them because what they did, you know, with the judgment that they're going to get because of what they gave. Verse 17 of Ezekiel 34, and you, my flock, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I judge between lamb and between ram and he-goats. So he's judging between the sheep and the goats. Where do we hear this from? Matthew 25, right? Matthew 25. That's what Yeshua does when he returns. Matthew 25 and verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And indeed, he will set the sheep on his right, but the goats off to his left hand, right? So that's what he's saying over here in Ezekiel. He's separating between lamb and lamb and rams and he goats. And verse 18. Is it a small thing to you to have fed on the good pasture? Now he's talking again to the false pastors who took in everything good for themselves and left nothing for the flock. Is it a small thing for you to have fed on the good pasture, but you must trample on the rest of your pastures with your feet? And you drunk of the clear waters, but the rest you must foul with your feet? So what is he talking about here? He's talking about that this is something that camels and sometimes even cattle do, that they eat the best of something that's there, and then after they're finished eating, they actually muddy and even put their dung on the other food so that nobody else can eat the meager stuff that's left over. So it's bad enough they're taking the best of it, right? But then even the little bit that's left, you know, and that's what happens sometimes, you know, that you'll get donations coming in and you see the pastor is taking the best of all the donations for himself, and then the little meager stuff that's left over, does he even give to the congregation? No, he sells it and tries to get more money. I have seen over my time some of the most evil, worst people that you can ever imagine in your life calling themselves pastors, you know, and elders in congregations. Praise Yahweh, not really in ours, although I've seen a couple in ours that we had to deal with. But this is, it's such an evil spirit and no heart, no compassion, no mercy on the people that need things the most. And I remember a few years ago when we were giving out some things in Kenya, and we had a lot of people there. There were probably 600, 700, 800 people that were there. And what they did was they had all the matriarchs from all the different tribes come up. I forget how many were there, 8 or 10. And as we opened up the boxes, they separated it piece by piece to, you know, each one that all the different tribes and all the different people were able to get what was needed there. And it wasn't just taken by the leader who's taking it all for himself. And even Yeshua talked about the scribes and the Pharisees with this, right? Remember Matthew 23, if we go there. Matthew 23. Because they did the same thing. They tried to look pious. They tried to look religious. But deep down, they were disgusting, as if they didn't know Yahweh was watching them. So I'm going to read verse 1 through 7 and drop down to verse 13. And Yeshua spoke to the crowd and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have sat down on Moses' seat. That was the seat that was in the synagogue where the teacher sat. Then all things whatever he, Moses, tells you to keep, you know, when they're reading the Torah, listen to the Torah, and do. But do not do according to their works, for they talk and they do not do. Right? They're hypocrites. For they bind heavy and hard to bear burdens and lay them on the shoulders of men, but they do not desire to move them with their finger. And they do all their works to be seen by men. And they widen their tefillin and lengthen the tekelet, you know, that's the blue string that's in the tassel, of their robes. And they love the chief places at synagogues and the chief seats at the synagogue, and the greetings in the markets, and to be called by men, Rabboni, Rabboni, right? So they like to get the best of everything, be called those things. And look what Yeshua says, verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven before men, for you do not enter, nor do you allow those entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour the houses of widows and pray at length as a pretext. Because of this, you will receive more abundant judgment. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you go about the sea and the dry land to make one proselyte, and when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of Gehenna than yourself. Wow. And then he goes on and on and on and on here, as we see. But like I said, in the world we live in today, where sometimes it looks like these people are getting away with it, nobody's ever getting away with anything. Life is short. There's a judgment day for every single human being on this earth. And everybody will stand before that judgment seat. So we just have to trust in Yahweh for his justice. And now we're seeing it, like I said, so many people that came out of Catholicism and Protestantism and Evangelicalism and all the other isms that are out there and have come into the truth. And praise Yahweh that, like I said, we're human beings, we make mistakes, but we try our hardest, You know, we're not out there for money. We're trying our hardest to serve people and to love people and to care for people. And I thank Yahweh for the opportunity to do that, as also the somewhat 250 men that are working with me also do. And my sheep, what your feet have trampled, they must feed on, and they drink what your feet have fouled, right? Like we said, they're not only taking the best, but then with their feet, they're fouling up the rest of it. So Adonai Yahweh says this to them, behold, I will even judge between the fat lamb and the lean lamb. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and have pushed all the weak with your horns, until you have scattered them to the outside. Zechariah 11, verse 5. So we see they're actually pushing them out of the congregation, not caring for the sheep, but pushing them out. Zechariah 11, and verse 5, and then I'll drop down to verse 16. Zechariah 11 and verse 5. Those who buy, kill them and are not guilty. And those who sell them, blessed be Yahweh. For I am rich and their shepherds do not have pity upon them. Drop down to verse 16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land. He shall not visit those who are cut off, nor will he seek the young, nor will he heal which is broken, nor will he sustain that which stands. But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear off their hoofs. Woe to the worthless shepherd who abandons the flock. The sword will be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall be completely withered and his right eye shall be totally darkened. And many people believe this verse refers to primarily to Simon Bar Kokhba, who was the false Messiah, you know, in the second century with the Bar Kokhba revolt and all those things. But it can also be, in theory, to any false shepherd that's out there. Verse 22 of Ezekiel 34. I also will save my flock, and they shall no longer be for a prey. And I will judge between lamb and lamb, right? So Yahweh is judging. He is going to be the righteous judge that's there and not leaving it up to the false pastors there. Psalm 72 and verse 12. Psalm 72 and verse 12. Says, for he shall save the needy who cries and the poor with no helper. He will have pity on the poor needy and the souls of the needy ones he saves. He shall redeem their souls from oppression and violence, and their blood shall be precious in his eyes. Wow. Talks about that in Psalm 103 too. So Yahweh is redeeming. Yahweh is caring for his people. Yahweh is seeking out. And we also have to seek him. Like I said, we can't have a root of bitterness growing because something that happened in a congregation or something before. We have to make sure that we're realizing the great opportunity and blessing we have in these end times, that Yahweh himself is caring for his people. And for me, the most important thing is the truth that he's given us. That in a world that is so much filled with falsehoods and you don't know what to believe, that his word is just 100% true and 100% right. Verse 23, Ezekiel 34. And I will raise up over them one shepherd, and he will feed them my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And many people, you know, like sometimes when Jewish people have said, look, you know, you talk about if Yeshua is the Messiah, then why does it say David here? And pastors through the years have said, oh no, this is talking because Yeshua is a son of David. This is talking about him as a son. No, it's very clear. He clearly says he will raise up his servant David, right? David is going to be resurrected. He's going to live again. Of course he is. There's a resurrection that's coming. But what about Yeshua then if David is there? Well, look at verse 24. And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David will be a ruler among them, will be a ruler. I, Yahweh, have spoken. So, yes, David is going to be the main shepherd to Yeshua. But who is this Yahweh here? This is Yeshua Yahweh that's here, right? This is Yeshua Yahweh. Ezekiel 37, 24, and 25. Ezekiel 37, right? This is the Valley of the Dry Bones, the Israelites being resurrected again, right? And then the uniting of the tribes. But look what happens here. Same thing, 24 and 25. My servant David shall be king over them, and there shall be one shepherd to all of them. And they shall walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they will dwell in the land that I have given to my servant to Jacob, there where their fathers dwelt. And they will dwell in it, there and their sons, and their sons forever. And my servant David will be a ruler to them forever. Right? But Yeshua, Yahweh, is going to be the one that's there. How do we know this? Because if you go to Revelation 21, we know Yahweh the Father does not come to earth till after the 1,000 years are over. So Revelation 21, this is after the 1,000 years. Look, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea is no longer. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, having been prepared as a bride, having been adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh was with men, and he, Yahweh, the Father, will tabernacle with them, and they will be his people, and Yahweh himself, Yahweh the Father, will be with them as their Elohim, right? So this is after the 1,000 years are over. So over here in Ezekiel 34, we're talking about during the 1,000 years. So it certainly is not Yahweh the Father who's there with King David. No, it's Yeshua Yahweh. So it's no problem. We don't have to twist scripture and try to say, oh, no, 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 he's talking about Yeshua as the son of David. No, he's talking about David being there. And he's talking about, yes, the son of David being there as Yahweh Elohim. And that's why Yeshua said, whose son is the Messiah? And they said, David's. And he said, well, if he's David's son, why did David call him Adonai in prayer? And they didn't have an answer for it, because Adonai is only for Yahweh. Because he called it to, his Adonai was not Yahweh the Father, it was Yahweh the Son, Yahweh Yeshua, Melchizedek. So this is where we see that at that time, yes, there'll be one shepherd that will be, Yeshua will be the Elohim, and David will be shepherding also. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. It says, and at the appearing of the chief shepherd, you will receive the never-fading crown of glory. Who's the chief shepherd? Yeshua. At his appearing, he is called. What did we just read in John 10? Who is the great shepherd? It's Yeshua. And that's why it's interesting that Yeshua related himself as a shepherd, right? Because that's what he is. And this is what it says here, the great shepherd. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. It says, may the Elohim of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the flock by the blood of the everlasting covenant, namely Yeshua the Messiah, our master. Right? So Yeshua is the great shepherd. David will be a ruler under him. That's what it says very, very clearly. Jeremiah 30 and verse 9. Jeremiah 30 and verse 9. Like I said, scripture interprets itself. That's why we never have to add to scripture. We just have to line upon line, precept upon precept, and let scripture go from scripture to scripture, interpreting itself. He says, but they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up to them. They shall serve Yeshua Yahweh, right? He's the one they're going to serve. And David, their king, whom he will raise up to them. So clearly, David is going to be there. There's no doubt about that. Last scripture on this is in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Because the Messiah is going to be king at that time. Yeshua, Messiah. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government is on his shoulder. And his name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty El, the Prince of Peace, the one who fathered everlasting life. So this is clearly talking about Yeshua, right? The Prince of Peace and the Mighty El. He is Elohim. There is no end to the increase of his government and of peace on the throne of David and on his kingdom to order it and to sustain it with justice and righteousness from now and forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this, and he certainly will. And he is in the realm of doing it as we speak. We've gone through almost 6,000 years of this experiment. And now we will be going into the thousand-year millennial rule. Verse 25 of Ezekiel 34. And I will cut a covenant peace with them and make evil beasts cease out of the land. And they will live in the wilderness securely and sleep in the forest. Wow, some of us are already doing that, right? But that's what he says. He's going to cut a covenant of peace. Who's the king of peace? We just read Yeshua. And he will cut evil beasts out of the land. Psalm 4 and verse 8. It says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Yahweh, make me dwell in safety. So what is he saying? He's saying that the people are going to be secure. They're going to feel secure. And I'll tell you something. You know, I probably have done more wilderness stops in the last few years than I did in my whole life. But I could tell you, I didn't think this years ago. You know, I remember years ago, even when I was still in Church of God, and we'd hear about this, a place of safety and, you know, leaving a society. And they had it a little bit off, but they were talking about getting a call in the middle of the night and a big airplane, two wings of a great eagle, were going to be taking us over to Jordan. They at least knew we were going to Jordan. But there was like an anxiety to that. You know, wow, leave my life, leave my family. But now it's like you see it the other way. Once you go to the wilderness, you don't want to go back to society because you see how dreadful society is. And that's what Yahweh is saying here. It's going to be a peaceful place. The evil beasts are being taken out. Leviticus 26:6. And the people, it's going to be a place where Yahweh and Yeshua can build a greater relationship with the remnant. Leviticus 26 and verse 6. And he says, and I will give peace in the land, and you will lie down, and none will terrify you. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land, and the sword shall not pass over into your land. So that's the promise he's given his people in the wilderness. Hosea 2 and verse 18, right? And even the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the lion will play, the child will play on the hole of the asp, right? And we know that the animals will be peaceful at that time also. Hosea 2 and verse 18. Hosea 2 and verse 18. It says, for in that day I will cut a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the birds of the heaven and the creepers of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down securely, right? Today, people go to bed fearful, not only fearful of animals, but fearful of human beings. You know, there's more crime, break-ins. People can't pay rent. Like, people just don't have good sleep these days. And he's saying you're going to have good sleep. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down securely. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and judgment and in mercy and compassions. I will even betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know Aleph Taf Yahweh. And it shall be in that day I will answer, says Yahweh. I will answer the heavens, and they will answer the earth. And the earth shall hear the grain and the wine and the oil, right? All Sukkot, blessings. And they will answer Jezreel, and I will sow her to me in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy, and I will say to not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, Elohim. That's all about the tribes being called back, right? Where they were lost in their captivity. They were all over in all these different lands, and now Yahweh is going to call them back, and they were going to be in peace. Verse 26 of Ezekiel 34. And I will make them in the places around my hill a blessing, and I will bring down the shower in its season. There will be showers of blessing, right? That's the latter rain. The latter rain that's coming, the showers of blessing. Psalm 133 and verse 3. Psalm 133 and verse 3. It says, like the dew of Hermon coming down on the mountains of Zion, for there Yahweh commanded the blessing forevermore, right? So it's dripping down like the oil that's dripping on the mountain, the oil signifying the Holy Spirit, just like the latter rain signifying the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water on a thirsty place and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on the seed and my blessing on your offspring. So this is where, right, that we understand in Scripture the valley of the dry bones, right? When we see dryness, it's talking about no ruach, no ruach in the place. But when you see the latter rain and you see oil being poured out, like it said before, that the oil, the wine, and the grain, and we see the blessing of the oil and the blessing of the waters, it's showing Yahweh's Spirit is there and it's moving. Yoel chapter 2 and verse 23. Yoel chapter 2 and verse 23. Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month, right? Wow. So that's the latter rain that is coming, and we're seeing it already. We're seeing it already since 2015. We saw a whole Shemitah cycle. And I pray now, as we're moving into either the last seven or one more seven, that it will become stronger. And as more purification comes for Yahweh's people, we're going to need that rock to be stronger, but it is. But we have to be asking for it. Verse 27 of Ezekiel 34. And the tree of the field shall give its fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be securely on their land. And they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have broken the staff of their yoke and have rescued them from the hand of those who enslaved them. Right? So Yahweh's rescuing them. And like he's saying, that it's the trees of the field will give their fruit and the earth shall yield its increase. That's Shemitah. That's what we're seeing now. You know? And as I'm getting these pictures from brethren sending to me, I'm amazed at all the things that Yahweh is blessing his people with, even vegetables, you know, that weren't planted but just came up. Because a lot of times when you have a garden and you let it lay at that seventh year, seeds and things that were there from before will grow. And praise Yahweh, I'm seeing that brethren are being blessed with a lot of things. Psalm 1 and verse 3. Psalm 1 and verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivulets of water, which will give its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf will not wither, and all which he does will prosper. So this is talking about the righteous person, right? And that's what he's saying, that the tree of the field will give its fruit and the earth will yield its increase. And we worry now because our mind is just so perverted with commercial Babylon. How are we going to survive? How will we survive when the mark of the beast comes? But the same way you're surviving in the Shemitah, if you really are doing it properly and you're trusting in Yahweh, is the same way then. And even Yahweh will once again have manna come up every day for his people and the waters out of the rock. In Revelation 22, look in the millennium how Yahweh cares for his people like the Garden of Eden all over again. Revelation 22 and verse 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, bright as crystal, coming out of the throne of Yahweh in the land. In the midst of its street and of the city, on this side and that side of the river, was a tree of life producing 12 fruits, according to 1 month each yielding its fruit. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, right? Where do you get most of these essential oils from? From the leaves of the trees. That's where they come from. They extract the oil from the leaves, and that's where the healing is coming from. And actually, up until 1900, that's the way doctors always healed before. Until you had Rockefeller come in and bring the whole modern medicine system in, which harms more people than it helps. But this is where we're getting back to. We're getting back to that Eden environment. Isaiah 14, 2 and 3. And Yahweh caring for his people in every single way. Isaiah 14, 2 and 3. And the people shall take them and bring them to their own place, and the house of Israel will possess them in the land of Yahweh for slaves and slave girls. And they will be captives of their captors, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall be in the day that Yahweh will give you rest from your sorrow and from your trouble and from the hard bondage which was pressed on you. So this is what Yahweh is doing. And that's one of the blessings of going to the wilderness, that he's delivering his people out of commercial Babylon And you can't worry about it, you know. You can't worry, what will we eat, what will we drink? This is what the nations worry about, the Gentiles, the pagans. But just like Yahweh cared for 2 million people in the wilderness, and he fed them, he will do the same. Jeremiah 30 and verse 8. Jeremiah 30 and verse 8. And it shall be in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, I will break this yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds, and strangers will not enslave him. So we see this in even Israel today, that technically is a free nation. They really are enslaved. You know, it is a land of slavery between the terrorists and the Hamas and all these other ones that are there and everything that goes on, then the nation's always coming against them. And they'll be free too at that time when Yeshua returns. He will bring his people back there to the land, and we will all be free there, and the land will be producing, and Yahweh will be blessing his people. Verse 28. And they shall not anymore be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the land will not eat them. But they shall live securely, and no one will terrify them, right? The way today, there's just so much terror that's there. And unfortunately for Israel, the worst is yet to come, because they are going to lose their sovereignty in these coming, you know, months or years that's coming. But it's not going to be a pretty picture for them. But then Yahweh will redeem them. Yahweh is going to redeem them, as he's going to, all 12 tribes will be redeemed and be back there. Jeremiah 46 and verse 27. Jeremiah 46 and verse 27. He says, But you do not fear, O my servant Jacob, and do not be afraid, O Israel. For behold, I am saving you from afar off, and your seed from the land of their exile. And Jacob will return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. So this is the promise that Yahweh has given. We just have to trust in his word. Verse 29 of Ezekiel 34. Just a few more scriptures. I think we will finish this tonight. Praise Yahweh. Verse 29. I will raise up for them a planting place of name, and they shall not any more be of those gathered by famine in the land, and they shall not any more bear the shame of the nations. Right? Ezekiel 36 and verse 15. He says, And I will not let you bear the shame of the nations any longer, and you shall not bear the disgrace of the people anymore, and you shall not cause your nations to fall anymore, declares Adonai Yahweh. So the shame from sin, the shame from disobedience, it's all going to be over. You know, the Yahweh is going to forgive, and that will be the end of it. Verse 30. And they will know that I, Yahweh, their Elohim, am with them, and they are my people, the house of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh. So that's what he says. They will know it at that day. That this is talking about, you know, when Yeshua comes back, he is redeeming. So when we look at Ezekiel 37, and we'll get into that in detail when we get there. Everyone knows that, right? The regathering of the tribes. But I think what people forget is it's not only the regathering of the ones that are dead now, you know, the valley of the dry bones and the resurrection, that's a big part of it. That's the beginning of the chapter. But the second part of that chapter is Yeshua redeeming the tribes back to the land. But before they can be redeemed, like we see here, they have to come out of the nations where they're living, and they have to go to the wilderness, you know, and that's the point. It's like, have you ever gone swimming, like in the ocean, and when you first get there, you know, like you put your foot in and it's kind of cold and you don't know whether you want to really do it or not because it's, you know, you're cold. And I always say, you know what? The best way, you got to just jump in. If you keep waiting there, you keep waiting there, you keep waiting there, it's not going to get any warmer. You know, you got to just jump in the water. And once you jump in, you get used to it pretty quick. And then you're in the water. You know, you're either on the land or you're in the water, but you can't be in both, you know. And this is what's happening here. You know, you're either in the wilderness or you're not. You're either in Satan society or you're in the wilderness, which is that the road to the promised land. So you got to get on that road, you know. It's like in the movie The Wizard of Oz, right? You had to get on that yellow brick road to get to, you know, the promised land or wherever they were going. But this is what's here. Unless you get on the road to the wilderness, you'll never make it to the promised land. And the worst part about it is you'll be in Satan's society. And as that gap is getting wider and wider, right, the Lazarus and the rich man, the gulf is at a point where you're not going to be able to get out anymore. It's going to be too late. And that's where it's going to be horror that comes. Hebrews 8 and verse 10. It says, because this is the covenant which I was covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my Torah in their minds, and I will inscribe it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. Just like he says here, right? And they will know that I, Yahweh, their Elohim, am with them, and they are my people, the house of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh. In verse 31 of Ezekiel 34, and you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men. I am your Elohim, declares Adonai Yahweh. So now he's making sure you understand he's not really talking about just sheep, right? We have a shepherd, you know, down the road from us here, and there's a lot of sheep. We see the sheep every single day. But they're only an analogy for us, you know, but he's talking about here, they're really men. 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. Says, but the word of Yahweh remains forever, and this is the very word that was announced to you. So you have to make sure you're understanding. This is the word of Yahweh that's being announced to you. John 10 and verse 26. John 10 and verse 26. Because this is really important. This is an important Bible study tonight. John 10 and verse 26 says, but you do not believe, for you are not of my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall not perish forever. And not anyone shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are Ikad. So, his sheep hear his voice. Are you hearing his voice? You know, are you following? You know, again, we're here at maybe 5,900 and either 93 years or 86 years, one or the other. And after all that time, when we're just ending into these last couple of years here, are you following his voice? Do you hear his voice? Are you just every day getting up and going through the same thing, living to the world, not studying, not praying, not having any relationship with Yahweh, and somehow just thinking, or not even thinking, but one day you're going to die, and then the next waking moment you're going to be at that resurrection. You'll be pleading and crying. Like it says, they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but that's not the time to do it. That's the time where you're being more selfish because you see you're going to go to the lake of fire. You missed out on the kingdom. The time to do it is now. There's just no reason not to. And if you're one of his sheep, you'll hear his voice and you'll dedicate your life to him. Because we see all these things happening. In the last scripture, Psalm 100 and verse 3. Psalm 100 and verse 3. It says, know that Yahweh, he is Elohim. He has made us, and not we of ourselves, his people and the sheep of his pasture. Know that Yahweh is Elohim. He has made us, and not we ourselves, his people and the sheep of his pasture. Yes, we are. We are his sheep. And what an amazing thing. And, you know, until I really, really studied this chapter, you know, I've always read it and saw it, but I never realized how important it is. Because most of the time, we were mostly in Ezekiel 36, which is really an important chapter, too, because it's all the restoration of Israel. But this is an amazing chapter. And to me, it always seemed negative because the way it starts, woe to the shepherds and the ones. But yet, when you look, that's only the beginning of this chapter. When you look at how positive the chapter is, and Yahweh talking about what we're living in now, of taking the people out of these churches, out of the Catholic Church, out of the Protestant Church, out of Judaism, you know. It amazes me when somebody that's, you know, a believer goes into Judaism, and I think, wow, I don't know where this person's thinking, you know. I mean, how on earth can you go from the truth to that, you know, when it's all just rituals? When Yahweh is calling people out of that, he's calling them out of religion into relationship. And here we are. Here we are. He's given us the Spirit. He's opening up our minds. You know, he's saying that we're his sheep, hear his voice, and we do hear it. And his rock is opening up our mind to understand the Scriptures like never before. You know, when I meet new people and they don't understand the Bible and they're asking questions, and they're so happy when you can give an answer to their questions. And we should be so thankful to Yahweh that we have the answers, because they're his answers. So I think this is a really, really encouraging chapter, you know. And a fact that, like I said, he's called us out away from that religious spirit and these bad pastors and churches and even government people. And you can't trust in government, that's for certain, because they're all evil. They're all part of Satan's society, you know, New World Order or whatever they want to call it. But we are now out of that. We are in the wilderness and we're on our way. We're on that last journey now to the kingdom of Yahweh. And Yahweh is there with us. He has shepherds. He has pastors. You know, you're not going alone. He has people there with you to guide you. And we're all in this together. What a great word that he has here. And that he is there, and like I said, he will be caring for his people, and we'll be seeing manna again, and all the things, whatever we need, to get through these last few years. So praise Yahweh, praise him for his son Yeshua, praise him for the chief shepherd that will be Yahweh Elohim there in the kingdom physically with us. Praise him for King David that we'll be with too, who has such a shepherd's heart, and praise him for his wonderful plan of salvation. And I just pray that we will grasp and internalize this with all our being. So until next week, Yahweh willing, we'll go over chapter 35. So until then, I pray you have a blessed Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom.